B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up? Hello.
All right. 11:56 on a Monday, June the 29th. About to be July 4th weekend. You know, it's funny I was saying this. July 4th is my least favorite holiday.
Because you're basically anti-everything. You're anti-barbecue.
I hate cookout.
Cookout.
Out on a cookout. Hate fireworks. Out.
You're in on beers, though.
Yeah, well, okay. So that's not a holiday. You drink beer every day. That's my problem. That's why I'm trying to stay away, trying to replace it with gin.
All right, so you're going to have day gin on July 4th.
Yeah, listen, you know, it is, but it's not special to me. And it's probably because of sports. I love Christmas Eve more than anything. That's my favorite. And I'm a big Halloween fan. And then I love the New Year's.
You're in on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, of course. I love Thanksgiving. Those are fun holidays.
Yeah.
The summer holiday, July 4th's only good if you're down the shore. And even then, it's too crowded.
And the problem for a lot of people this year, July 4th is a Saturday.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to take off that Friday, but...
Well, our day off is Friday.
Right.
That's the company day off is Friday.
We kind of get robbed. A lot of people will get robbed of it.
Yeah, but I hear you. But I guess my point is that I'm just not a big fan of the 4th.
I'm in.
I mean, look, the Independence Day of the country is one thing. But I'm as far as the holiday is concerned, the tradition of the holiday.
It'll be an excuse for me to do some day drinking.
That's not that. Do that all the time. What's so special about that?
I did it last Saturday.
Well, that's my point.
I celebrated June 27th.
Right. That's supposed to make you happy? I'm just saying, as a holiday, it's way down on the list.
I don't know. I love the summer holiday. People get together. You can't do it this year.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm serious.
It's just the excuse to get together.
I don't think it's that special. Like the customs, the cookout and the fireworks are the two big staples, and I'm out on both.
Can't believe you're anti-firework. I'm anti-10:30 at night firework.
Every night, I don't care.
But I'm in on Philly's firework night at CBP. I'm in on firework night. I went last year.
Dude, I'm done. I don't ever need to see that. That's one thing I'll never need to see again.
Firework night?
Yeah.
Play the music.
Again, that they do nothing. And listen, I live right on the water. I saw them every year. It was beautiful. Like, you go, that's great. Kids loved them. And it probably spoiled us, but I'm done.
It was nice growing up. My parents had like the deck in the backyard and the park. You know the park. And they used to, I don't know if they still do, but they launched fireworks from there on July 4th weekend and other days. And you could see from my backyard. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah.
Now I can do it with a beer in my hand.
Okay. But beer's not special. It's 12 o'clock and you're living and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. Here's what would make my July 4th is if there were sports on July 4th, right? But there is none. So I'll settle for August 1st, the first game, Sixers. Indiana, Sixers, August 1st, 7 o'clock, I'm in. Spurs on a Monday night, August 3rd, Wizards, Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. It's a 4 o'clock piece, Judas. We'll be down the shore watching that one.
All right, sounds good.
Orlando on the 7th, a Friday, 6:30. Perfect, like, happy hour before you go out. Portland on a Sunday night, 6:30, August 9th. Suns, Tuesday, 4:30, Andrew. Raptors, August 12th, at 6:30, and the Rockets on a Friday, August 14th. There's the 8 games back. I'm not even going to miss training camp. Because training camp is the biggest tease of it all.
Big time. 7-on-7s, guys in shorts, you get the video. Oh, look at how good so-and-so looks.
Right.
It's like, all right, where are the pads?
And we're only in on it because we are dying for it. But now if we got hockey and NBA, it's even better because it gets us to the start of football.
You're telling me you're not excited for the 7-on-7 play-by-play tweets that we get from all the reporters?
Nah. Well, listen, I like it all, so, again. But we got something that matters. Rich in Morrisville. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich, hey!
Yeah.
You're on the air, buddy.
Take us off.
Yeah, do me a favor. Take us off speaker, Rich.
Of course. Apologies.
That's right.
First of all, thank you very much for all the stuff you've been doing on the over the air, man. It's incredible. It's beautiful, and it needs to be said. You're a great man, standing up for great things, and it means a lot to all of us.
Wow. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm not, but I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Man.
You're a conduit to good change, man. You know, it's something that, you know, and I'm the same as you. I want to be humble. But God bless you, bro.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, time is short. I'm old school in a few ways. I'm on board for whatever happens this season, one way or the other. So I'm on board, whatever it is, however they get it in, cramming it in, squeezing it in, changing the rules. It's like a free for all. It's very, very fun and exciting. What I don't want to change is the whole year is good to us, right? Oh, every season we have something to look forward to. That's what I was referring to when I was saying I don't want to change it up.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was curious as to why, you know, you weren't in on it. So let me ask you, if you start at Christmas Day, are you really going to miss October, November basketball?
Well, so that was the other thing. We got the summer league. So we do get basketball in the summer. It's not the same. It's not as competitive, but we do get the summer league. So we do get, and then again, you're right. If they started at Christmas Day, I think that would be beautiful. If that's what we're talking about, I'm 100% on board.
Yeah. So they're saying go from here on out, they start the season Christmas Day and they'll run, and playoffs would be July, August, like, and game 7 would be the latest Labor Day.
So, yeah, now if I could just real quick shift gears.
Sure.
Now, Paul Giamatti, just real quick, straight out of Compton, his body work is good. But Private Parts is another really, really good movie.
Yes.
Cinderella Man, you have got to see this movie.
I never saw it.
I'm telling you, you've got to see it. It's going to blow your mind.
Really?
It was during the Depression. He's going and he's standing in barriers to fight or standing in line to get food, to get welfare. So after he wins a few fights, he goes back and stands in line and waits and gives the money back and says, look, I was down on my luck. I was having a hard time and yous were there for me. And here, now I'm doing okay.
Wow. And this is Russell Crowe doing that?
Russell Crowe, man, this movie is incredible.
And Paul Giamatti is the trainer?
The supporting actor.
Yeah.
And again, he does a lot of deplorable characters, no question. But his supporting work is incredible. Another real funny one, and it's like, you know, to throw away, but he plays a gangster in The Hangover 2, and that's pretty funny. You should
check it out. I like it, Rich. Listen, I will watch Cinderella Man. That sounds good.
You're going to love it. It's a phenomenal movie. And it's a real good piece of history. You know,
it sounds like a good story.
Yeah. God bless, and take care.
You too, my brother. Thank you, Richie. Appreciate it, pal. It sounds good. I'll take it. I'll take Rich's advice.
Yes. Don't take mine. Take Rich's. He did a good job explaining. It's a great movie. It really is. It was one of those.
I like that. I like period pieces, so I'm in on that. You know,
it was one of those. I didn't learn anything in history class in high school because we watched movies all the time. So we learned about the Great Depression by watching Cinderella Man.
Wait a second. You watched...
Yeah, we had a...
Cinderella Man in class?
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question, because what is the deal with watching movies in school and that being your class?
Aunt, I don't know, because I know for a fact that I did not learn enough about American history or history in general. I had a lot of teachers that were just like, here you go. Oh, see, they mentioned the Great Depression. Now you learned a thing or two. I had one teacher, Aunt, where we watched Gone with the Wind, and that was the test. The test was on Gone with the Wind. Not the period of time, but it was on the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had some teachers that, you know.
That's bad.
She reached tenure, and she was like, all right, here you go, kids.
That's pretty bad.
And Gone with the Wind's, what, like 3 hours long? So class is 40-some minutes. You do the setup for 30.
Yeah.
So that was like 2 weeks of classes. And then you took a test on the movie, not the real life.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Horrible. Let's go. I don't know what to say to that. That answers a lot of questions.
I mean, I didn't mind it at the time, but looking back at it,
a lot of questions.
I wish I learned a thing or two.
Ryan in media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Yo, Ant.
Yo, Ryan.
What's going on, man?
What's going on with you, my man?
Yeah, first off, definitely excited for the NBA and, you know, NHL, any sports, really, you know. I don't know. People are saying it's all bogus or this and that, but, you know, if they remember, we're not too far removed from NBA horse competition in people's backyards.
Yes.
So, which was
maybe
arguably the worst thing that's ever aired on the history of sports. So, you know, I don't know how people are out on it. Unfortunately, I'm feeling like Tuna should be playing the sheep drop here a little bit for the excitement over the Sixers. I don't know. I'm Brett Brown, you know, putting it together with the extra time and the no fans on the. You know, it's going to help Ben's jump shot. He's not going to get booed. And JoJo's going to come back in world beater shape. And they figured out Al Horford at the end.
Well, that's me. I don't know
about all that.
Well, that's really me you're talking to, not Tunis. Tunis is dubious. I'm saying
Tunis should be playing the sheep drop for you. Like,
oh, for me? Yeah. I think they're built for 16. I've always thought they were built for 16. I think they'll play them their way in the shape. I think the fact that they're playing in a bubble without being on the road, I don't know. It comes down to talent. I look at the Eastern Conference, and I think there's only one team that actually is better than them, and that's Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the talent. I mean, the fact that the Raptors have the record they have, what talent they have on that team is crazy. And maybe that talent will, you know, Sixers' overall talent will show up in the playoffs, you know, over teams that have kind of overachieved, maybe. But I don't see it, to tell you the truth. I mean, if they come out and they're on fire, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I don't think Ben's going to shoot. I do think
they're
going to keep running, gunning and stuff and not get down to bully ball like you've been talking about. I don't see the bully ball thing happening, eh?
Wow.
You just got
ice cold water, and you just dumped it right on my back.
I just look at Brett's track record, man. You see it one game or two games, you know, and it works. It looks good, and then the next three weeks is shooting jump shots left and right.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Here's where I'm coming down at. This is still a new team, right? This team is. This season was the first it put together. Tobias Horford,
a new team for three seasons, man.
Okay, but last year has nothing to do with this year. You have different pieces together, right?
Well, you got to keep them together and stop shuffling the deck. Maybe you can get some chemistry going for once.
Well, again, this is all part of the process. It's all part of the process. Now you have in tow Embiid, Simmons, and you have your supporting cast. Now, we'll see about Horford going forward, but Harris is here and Richardson's here, right?
Yeah, I mean, those four, I don't know, Horford will probably be here for a while because of the money, but those four are definite, you know, for a little while, I would think. I mean, obviously the Embiid, Simmons, but I think Harris and Richardson aren't going anywhere. But, I mean, you do need chemistry with the sixth, seventh, eighth guy, and they just keep shuffling those guys over and over again. And
well, the most important thing is not the sixth, seventh, eighth guys. The most important thing is the five.
Yeah,
and,
but
and getting the play. All those other pieces are just pieces that come in and fulfill a role for a few minutes. I think you got to give patience to build this thing.
Yeah, I don't see Brett making any big changes. I think it's going to look more the same unfortunately.
You're just a mook.
I'm going to watch it, man. I'm going to watch it. But
I love you, Ry, man. And then the obvious sheep, but if I'm a sheep, you're a mook. thanks, brother. Good stuff, man. Yeah. I could, but you could give me the and maybe I'm delusional. I could be delusional that I expect Brett to actually play bully ball, to play away a style that you think you can win. I think he's going to do that. And I could be completely wrong, and they could flame out and be out in the first round, and then so be it. Blow, you know, do what you got to do. But, like, to me, it makes perfect sense, Andrew, to play a certain style. That's me.
You're a sheep.
I'm a sheep.
It makes sense. Like, what you say makes total sense.
I don't know. I am a sheep. You could give me the braying, the baying sheep, the buying sheep, wherever how you want to call it. I am. But I look at it and go, this is how they need to play. They have ability. I still think they're the second best team in the league, in the conference.
Yeah, in the conference, it makes sense. They talent-wise on paper, but they just have to do it.
Okay, and throughout the first through March, like the beginning parts of March, there were, you have to admit, Embiid was out for a while, Simmons was then got hurt. It did affect their overall
chemistry.
Yeah,
the wheels were falling off. They were falling apart.
You know, it did affect their overall chemistry, no?
Yeah.
Ryan's a bit of a mook. Is he not a mook? If I'm a sheep, he's a mook.
All right, do you want today's poll? Because it's actually kind of surprising for me.
Oh, no. Am I not going to like it?
No, I think you will.
All right.
Poll of the day. It's brought to you by Marvity Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvity Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvityCans.com. And the poll is on at 975 Middays. And it says, when you hear, quote, the Sixers can get to the NBA Finals, your reaction is?
Oh, no.
The four options. Oh, all caps. Yes, built for 16.
All right.
I hesitate, but possible.
Okay.
The eye roll. And then laugh out loud.
Okay, so I'll say the eye roll is the leader.
That's incorrect. With 40% of the vote.
LOL.
I hesitate,
but
possible. 30% say eye roll, and then split it 15%, laugh out loud, and yes, built for 16.
So, built for 16 is last?
It's tied with laugh out loud. Both with 15%. But I hesitate, but possible is in first. So there you go.
All right.
Take that, right?
Well, yeah.
That's a victory.
Yeah, it's a victory. That means if you couple it with built for 16.
That's 55% right there.
That's it, man.
Now, right away, you see some of the responses. Your boy, the Stein, our big Flyers
what's
fan.
What's the Stein say?
They can't even win on the road. They don't even have home court to make it a series now. So he's out.
No, but Stein, listen to me, Stein. It's not about rock. They're playing in a bubble. It should help them.
Another Sixers hater, Delco Pete. Remember him?
Oh,
we haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, no, Pete.
That's a good one with the laughing emojis.
He's laughing out loud. Oh, my God.
Brew tweets in. Wait, did they get a new coach?
Who did that? Grew?
Brew.
Brew.
Brew. Eric says Brett Brown is still the coach, so it's not happening. A lot of Brett Brown hate. Football guy 97.
What you said? What's football guy say?
Three things against them. What do you think?
All right, I'll say. He says Brett. He says Ben can't shoot. He said Embiid's is lazy out of shape.
He used lazy and out of shape as his answer. Yeah, three things against them.
Three on the number.
Ben won't shoot. Embiid will be out of shape because he is lazy, and Brett Brown is not good.
There you go.
Boom.
Did I nail football guy?
Because you are a football guy.
Football guy 97?
You know how football guy 97.
I nailed football guy 97. I knew exactly what he was going to say.
That's awesome.
Listen, yeah, I can't help those things. I mean, that all may be true. And B could come out and he could look doughy and he could be out of breath two times down the floor. I mean, that's all the well possible. I don't know. And B, I mean, Simmons may not shoot. That's all the well possible. Brett may want to fire threes, right? Go ahead. Green light to Shake Milton and Cork Moss.
Yeah, they'll be in the starting lineup.
I mean, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I tend to skew positive. So I tend to think that Simmons will continue to grow as a player and Ben will score and he's healthy and Joe will be in shape and look to make a statement and Brett will figure it out and play bully ball.
I like it.
That's how I choose to look at it. Again, I could be crushed, but all I know is, getting back to the bigger point, come August 1st, I got a game. March, April, May, June. We're not even through July. We're not even at July. We will have gone 5 months. 5 months, Andrew, without a game. Game. Forgive me if I'm a little bit
excited.
Pie in the sky.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Right? Forgive me if I'm a little pie in the sky. Ready to go. Excitement. Let's go to Judge. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic Judge.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi, Judge. How you doing, brother?
I am doing good, because I feel the same as you. I'm here to sprinkle a little happy dust on the show.
Thank you, Judge.
I am feeling exactly like you right now. Like, I took off for August 2nd of work because I'm staying up. I am not expecting to be going to bed early because the juice is flowing. I can't wait for the Sixers to come back. I'm dying. Like, for me, as soon as I start feeling the sun on my neck when I'm at work, I start thinking football. But now I have three sports to think about, even four, realistically. Like, and it's coming a month sooner than football. So I am ready for it. I mean, I haven't watched anything. I cut the news out of my life, and I got nothing but sports, and I don't have sports, so I can't wait for it to happen. I'm going to watch. I mean, basketball is my thing. I'll watch any game for basketball. But hockey, I'll watch every single game, regardless if the Flyers are playing or not. Baseball comes back, I'm watching anything I can. I can't wait.
And as far as the Sixers are concerned, it's going to be awesome because we're going to get it the minute we wake up until we go to bed.
Oh, my God. It's going to be all day, and it's going to be something different all the time. It's like March Madness with every sport.
Yes.
It's going to be great. I can't wait for it. Sixers are also, like, to me, I mean, I'm always on board with them. I follow, you know, like, I love the Sixers, and this season dying out, it was like, to me, looks like the best thing that could have happened for them. I mean, like, they weren't going to win. I still, to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to win it, but I think they're going to be representing the East this year regardless, and I think that Brett will go to bully ball. At least I'm as hopeful as you are. It seemed to me like that's the only play all season when you don't have, you know, Redick or Bellinelli or Ilya Silva or somebody on the outside to bang them threes. You have to go on the inside there. I mean, it does a lot of it comes down to Ben, you know, banging and getting to the foul line and trying to draw some attention away from Joe. But outside of that, I think that the team hasn't played enough games together for us to be fully critical of it. Like Brett Brown is on the hot seat with me. I've been defending him forever. But the way he was playing the lineups this year, see, he always switched the lineups till January. But this year, when they finally settled in, then there was injuries. So it's like I'm giving them a little leeway. I didn't expect them to win the finals this year. But with this time off, I do expect them to make it to the finals because, to me, their starting five is better than anybody else's, and I don't want to hear it. Like, they're going to shut everybody down. I'm expecting Joe to be looking forward to this end of the season. Like this, I don't have to trudge through a whole season here. I just had a whole offseason, and now I just have to go full bore for a short period of time.
Yes!
And I could just see it happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. The Sixers are going
yes,
to the finals.
Yes, Judge, I love it. I love it, brother. I love it. Thank you. 610-632-0975. I love it, Judge. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5, the Fanatic. All the great teams have a go-to guy. All right, when it comes to great tomato pie, my friends at Corpolis Bakery and Deli are my go-to guys. That's it. Corpolis, since 1924. The Corpolis family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. Oh, man, they're tremendous. In that oven, baking, oh, the tomatoes, the olive oil. Oh, my God, tremendous. The Corpolis Bakery has four locations. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville. Have your event catered by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. Your guests will be talking about how good the food was. Perfect for any gathering. Desserts are ridiculous. You're going to have to, you're going to love all of it, especially that tomato pie. All the great teams have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. My friends, Corpolis Bakery and Deli, my go-to guy. See more at corpolisbakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love Judge's excitement. Did you love that?
Yeah, of course. That's why I'm
sure.
That's why I'm putting the Brett Brown hay on the table for right now.
All right.
The wobbly table during the earthquake.
All right.
With a cat and a kid trying to knock stuff off.
I'm just making sure. Oh, man. I'm just making sure that you're good. That we have the right attitude. That we have the right way to go through with this. Because I think so, Andrew. I think so. All right. Sit tight, everybody, because now it's time for a little playback. And listen, for all of you Temple people out there, you know, football has never been our bailiwick, right? Up until recently, you had the Al Golden, and then you had Mighty Matt Rhule, who came in and really turned around the franchise, turned around the program. All those years of getting kicked in by Penn State, losing 42-3, 52-6. Believe me, there's been a lot of times that it's a Temple guy that we got our teeth kicked in by mighty Penn State before 800 people at Veterans Stadium. And yet, on a Labor Day weekend, it was a Labor Day Saturday, 2015. What a beautiful day it was at Lincoln Financial Field. Sold out for Temple. Lincoln Financial Field. We got our revenge. Andrew, revenge was ours.
Finally.
It was there. And so today's playback, Temple, Penn State. Bob was shoes in, Brock Heward on the call. Let's start with an intro to the game. Bob and Brock talk about a sold-out crowd to Lincoln. How many believe the top pick in the draft was going to be someday Christian Hackenberg?
Welcome to ESPN College Football. Eventually, on a College Football Saturday here in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field will completely fill up. It is a sold-out crowd. The Temple Owls, the home team, but there's a lot of Nike blue in this stadium as well, as Penn State has come to Philadelphia and brought their faithful along with them. Hagen, everyone, Bob Wischusen, proud to be alongside Brock Huard. This season, Shannon Spake will join us in just a moment. Finally, we've got a College Football Saturday to spend together. This is not the NFL. There is no exhibition season to work out the jitters. There's a lot, I'm sure, churning inside these players today as they take the field for the first time.
Well, these Temple kids are going to feel the biggest crowd in the history of their program, and there's some good belief. There's some founded belief with so many veterans on this team that they can win this game, a game they've not won in decades. And on the flip side, I love hearing about chemistry and how close the team is and, boy, how good Stanford was going to be this year, and then they get hit in the mouth and they lose. The chemistry and togetherness of Penn State will be tested on the field today by a veteran Temple team, and you'll see exactly what that resolve really looks like when it counts.
You mentioned being tested. That is going to be the theme all season long, it seems, with Christian Hackenberg.
No player in college football has more to gain than Christian Hackenberg over the next 4 months. I really do believe that. An opportunity to be the number one pick in the draft, but he's got to play like he did his freshman year when he ripped up the record books at Penn State with a pro-style system that really fit his skill set. A season ago, he did get hit in the mouth, but it wasn't always pretty, and the touchdown to interceptions flipped over, and there was finger-pointing within. The chemistry begins with the head coach and the quarterback, and it will be a storyline we follow throughout this game.
All right. First play from scrimmage for Temple. We start the game on offense. Before the snap, listen to him talk about that P.J. Walker, who was the MVP of the short-lived XFL. But then a big play by the Penn State defense hitting Robbie Anderson behind the line for a loss. And you can hear how many Penn Staters were in attendance.
And a lot on the shoulders of P.J. Walker, the junior from Elizabeth, New Jersey, who might be back a little bit more in his comfort zone running a base offense rather than the spread that he was into last year. A little wide receiver screen, and Robbie Anderson has his first catch after being out for a year. Academic ineligibility forced him to miss all of last season, and welcome back to college football. Had his bell rung by Brandon Bell and lost a couple.
All right. Penn State fans got even louder around the seven-minute mark of that first quarter. Already up 3-0, Temple's offense really not doing much. And the defense can't stop that Akeel Lynch, who gallops 40 yards and a touchdown.
That time could step up, use the force of that physical strength, and deliver just a BB to move the sticks.
Lynch finds a seam, and there he goes. There's no one home for the Owls. Akeel Lynch with a touchdown. That makes life on a quarterback easy. Just hand it off and watch him scamper 41 yards for a touchdown.
It's amazing what a first down and a third down conversion can do for the entire group. For those offensive linemen, we talked about the entirety of that drive to see something they didn't a year ago. And that's some real execution in the passing game. You saw Lynch run for a 130 on these guys last season in Happy Valley, and he's well on his way in this first quarter.
All right, Penn State now up 10-0. Temple again goes 3-and-out, and the game looks dismal. Game looks all too familiar, just like those other TU Penn State games of the past. Well, with Penn State back on offense, all of a sudden there was life. Brought to you by the Temple defense. Take a listen.
Allen in a tailback. Hackenberg with a play action fake. Under some pressure. And he'll be sacked. He wanted to go downtown. And it was covered up. Loses 6 yards back to the 9. Jared Allen got him inside the 10.
44 times that occurred a season ago. Way too many. One of the worst in college football taking sacks. And that's a situation where you would love to see a little more feel. And absolutely ball control. Lucky there at the end of that play. But you've got to feel that pressure coming and do your best to throw that in the third row.
Penn State ends up punting, but so does Temple. And all of a sudden, the Lions back on offense. And this is where the game started to turn. Take a listen.
Now it's Saquon Barkley, the true freshman in that tailback. Hackenberg. Does the ball pop out? Oh, he did well to hold on to it. A pump fake, and he paid the price. Jared Allwine came through and got him right between the one and the four on his back, in providing pressure as well as Reddick.
And that's sack number two, and that has nothing to do with the quarterback and everything to do with Paris Palmer. 44 sacks a year ago, same way. Some on the offensive line, some on the receiver. That all in the JUCO left tackle transfer.
So third and 15, and do you bring pressure here? Do you play coverage if you're Temple?
You have got to keep everything in front of you here.
They'll rush six. Hackenberg in trouble. He's going to go down again all the way back to the 20-yard line. They brought pressure, and it worked. Hassan Reddick got there first.
All of a sudden, that Hassan Reddick, Temple defense, showing some teeth. But, oh, on offense, the struggles continue. Here's P.J. Walker, and he can't hold on to the football.
Temple has the football back with Jahad Thomas in the eye. Here comes the blitz under pressure. P.J. Walker lost the football. A scramble for it. Who's got it? The Nittany Lions think they do. Again, Brandon Bell with pressure on the quarterback. Knocked it out. Penn State football. Torrance Brown recovered it.
Penn State quickly back on offense. Now, before the snap, listen to the story they tell about how the Owls' defensive line was angry.
Bench takes the handoff, tripped up after a gain of three, as we check in with Shannon.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you, this defensive line for Temple, they're not thinking about the two stops they got. They're thinking about the fact that they've been scored on twice. They're angry. You can see them on the sideline. There's not a lot of celebrating. It's all focus. Remember, these are guys that got in a fight at practice earlier this week. An angry defensive line, Brock, what's that like to line up across from?
Yeah, that's no fun. The bar is set real high. This is a very veteran team. It was fourth best in college football last year. I'm giving up just 17 a game.
They need to play angry now. As this game is in danger of getting away from them. If they give up a touchdown here, Hackenberg trying to avoid a sack, goes down for the fourth time. Pressure off the edge from Tyler Matakevich. And now it's third down and long.
Here we go. Third and long. Temple gets a hold. Now the Owls are back on offense. And finally, they get something going. Right behind that, Jahad Thomas running wild. Take a listen.
Ninth play of the drive for Temple.
Have a plan.
They'll run it. Jahad Thomas with all kinds of room. Bounces it to the outside. Inside the 10. At the 2. First and goal for the Owls. They run it on third down and 10. And Jahad Thomas almost scored.
That's been the best offensive call of the day for Marcus Satterfield, the offensive coordinator for Temple. I love it.
A drive that began for Temple at their own 7-yard line. P.J. Walker, the counter toss, walking in the end zone. A touchdown for Jahad Thomas.
Some advantages to have an entire month to get ready for an opponent. Some good wrinkles, the third 10, a little trap play, and that time flip 9, catching Penn State's eyes in the backfield. And Thomas delivering in huge momentum as you push into halftime.
Huge momentum is right. All right. Owls tied on their second drive in the second half. But let's jump to the late in the third quarter. About 5 minutes left, and Hackenberg goes down again, and this time a Temple favorite, Tyler Matakevich.
Third down and 10 for Penn State after the video review confirmed the ruling of an interference on the field. With another sack of Christian Hackenberg. He goes down for the fifth time today. And again, it's the Temple defense lighting up this crowd here at the link.
And if you can't punch back against a blitz, you're going to see more and more exotic blitzes from a veteran defense. That time, the loop right in front, another unblocked defender right in the face of Hackenberg. And if I've said it once, I have said it 100 times today. It feels as if there's very little plan.
Yeah. That was impressive. Al's punt on their next drive. So game's still tied at 10. But here we go. More from the Temple defense. It's second down. The second play from getting the ball back. Hackenberg drops back to pass and take a listen.
This is where you just got to play fast. When you're in the rut that you've been in for seven possessions, get up to the line. You've got some calls that you know you can call regardless of the look. Protect and establish that tempo yourself. Sharif Finch does is make plays. I think the ball is going to come back. I think we're going to take another look at this one. It's going to be at the 2-yard line.
Now, Finch does not get in. He's down to 2, but P.J. Walker does.
The next time Christian Hackenberg is on the field, he's going to be out there trying to bring his team from behind, it looks like. Barring Temple short-circuiting at the 2. Jahad Thomas, the lone setback on first and goal. Faith, and the quarterback takes it over from 1 yard out, and the Owls have the lead for the first time today.
Look at that. Look at that. Temple's in front. Now Penn State, next possession, looking to come back and tie it. But that Temple defense from that Matty Rule showing its teeth again, Andrew.
Still is pursued and sacked. Inexcusable for Penn State. Nate D. Smith on a two-man rush gets the sixth Temple sack.
And Bob, that just cannot happen. We can put all the burden of productivity on the quarterback, but eventually, as you said, when they're dropping into coverage and five can't block two, embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Temple gets the ball back after the Penn State punt. Al's looking to seal the game. Jahad Thomas.
That only occurs because of the balance that Temple has had throughout this game.
Jahad Thomas, another cut back to the outside. Another move in the secondary. He's got another Temple touchdown.
Four years, 1941, the last time a Temple team beat an in-state opponent, Penn State.
How about it? So the Owls have 6 sacks, right? They're all over Hackenberg, and they probably ruined them. That was the game that ruined them. They finished the game with 10. Let's enjoy it and end this thing by running through each of the sacks. Here's number 7.
Well, a huge comeback is now what Christian Hackenberg and Penn State have to have. There's still plenty of time. You're down 2 scores with over 11 minutes to go. You've got all the time in the world, but it has to start happening down the field, you would think, for Penn State. Under pressure and sacked for the 7th time today. Jacob Martin gets him this time. How can you push the ball down the field if you can't protect your quarterback?
Well, and it doesn't matter if it's 2 guys, 3 guys, that time a 4-man rush. Those ears are pinned back for Temple. Those defensive linemen feed off of it.
Are you ready? Now, number 8, Matt Ioannidis.
Now it's 2nd down and 15.
And then you shoot yourself in the foot with a false start. Too many pre-snap penalties.
Another sack. And only a 4-man rush. They simply can't protect Christian Hackenberg as Matt Ioannidis brings him down. 3rd down and 22.
Wow. So let's enjoy it, Andrew, and all you Temple people out there. Used to getting your teeth kicked in by mighty Penn State. Here are sacks 9 and 10 to expire the clock.
And that little conversation between Matt Rule and quarterback is, we're good. Hey, we're good. We spent the last month kind of quietly, totally under the radar. Most people probably picking Penn State today. We know we are a good team when it's all put together and you play the defense they're capable of. And here's sack number 9.
Wow.
As the embarrassment just continues.
Matt Ioannidis gets another.
And on the flip side is invalidation. We've got 4 starters back on an offensive line. All right, we can build off that pinstripe game. And in the last month is going to force you into a difficult bus ride home of evaluation.
Pardon me, that was Matakevich on the sack. 9 sacks for the Temple defense. Make it 10. Nate D. Smith brings Hackenberg down all the way back inside the 10-yard line.
Ever seen something like this? 10 sacks? I've never called a game in 10 years of this.
Do you even run another play? Why expose your quarterback to getting hit again? The game's over. Just shake hands. And it looks like that's what they're going to do. 10 Temple sacks highlight a 27-point unanswered run, and the Owls have done it. They have beat Penn State for the first time since 1941.
That was fun, Andrew. Tyrone, as a Rutgers man, used to get your teeth kicked in by Penn State. You got to appreciate that game. That's it. Fun playback. It's College Week on the program today. We might have a little basketball coming up. A little Villanova maybe on the docket as well this week. Temple, oops. All kinds of good. The Southwest Philly Floater and LaSalle, St. Joe's Mighty Run. All good stuff. It's College Week on the playback. We like our College Week. How about it, Andrew? That was fun.
Yeah, it was brings back a lot of good memories that day. That was a fun day.
That was good. All right, back to the conversation, and back to the NBA schedule, and back to sports being back. It's such a big, big deal. Zach and Ventnor, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach,
what's up, man? Another awesome playback. That was fun.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, that was a good time.
I was never a big Temple guy, but since I work in a high school, we've sent a bunch of kids to play football there, so it was fun to listen to.
Oh, did you really? How fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. It was just something. I was like, oh, cool, they were there. But, dude, I don't know what's up with some of these callers saying, oh, man, sports come back, it's okay, it's weird. Nah, man, it hasn't been here for how long? And you're getting the championships? Are you kidding me? How isn't everyone super psyched?
I know, and I'm kind of confused by that. I really am. There's, the meh kind of reaction to it. I don't understand it.
It was like, oh, man, you get to see the Flyers and the Sixers make a run at a title. Oh, man, yeah, that's cool. That's nice. I don't get it, man. But I had a Sixers thing and a Phillies thing for you I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, sure.
Well, so my Phillies question is, I called you last week. Why haven't they signed JT Realmuto yet? Why isn't it done?
Yeah, I can only think that they're going to. I mean, I can't imagine that they would screw this up.
I can't. I just thought it was going to be like, oh, we can sign him now. Here it is. We signed him.
Yeah. My guess is all the uncertainty, the pandemic, they got to get it done. They'll get it done. I would, again, they would be foolish not to get it done.
Exactly. And then you were talking about earlier, things you can table, things you'll table with sports coming back.
Yes.
I can't go as far as you and say I'm not going to complain about the draft. I can't, but I won't complain about the Sixers when they come back. I promise. I just want to see them play. I won't complain about Ben. I won't complain about Brett. Won't complain. I just want to see the Sixers play. I just want to see them play.
You know what? And that's it. And that's the why we're going to table our angst. And I appreciate that, Zach. Good stuff, my man. So he sounds like he's more apt to table it than you, Junis.
Yeah, I'm still, the table's rocking. It's a wobbly table, right? You need to get the matchbox to put under the table to make it sturdy, but you can't find the matchbox. So as soon as something bad happens, that table, whatever's on the edge, which is my Brett Brown concerns,
right?
Lack of confidence, it'll tip over.
All right.
But I could find, I could go buy the Matchbox if need be. I could buy a new table.
All right.
If it proves me wrong.
All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Got a couple open lines after the playback. Use good time to get in. And we'll give you the five again straight ahead as well. We're celebrating the return. The release to schedule is out. And that makes it a little bit more real. Cause Radio with Tunis, 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.